I'm Gavin Trotman. I'm 14 years old, and I go to Columbia High School.
I met you on Election Day. What were you doing that day?
So, in the morning, I took the bus out from my home in East Greenbush, and I went up to Troy, and I went to the office of the Rensselaer County Democrats that were out for the Election Day, and I went and helped and canvassed and knocked on a couple dozen houses just to get the word out for people to go vote.
A couple dozen houses.
Yeah.
Probably more than a couple dozen.
Well, yeah.
What motivated you to take the bus out there and do that?
So I've been, like, all summer I was, like, kind of insecure about it. I'm like, I want to do this, but, like, I don't know if I should. But then I met Antonio Delgado, who was the main event, I guess. Must have been a month ago now.
How did you meet him?
So he was going around, like, the district trying to, because he made this promise to the voters that he would visit every county. And so he was going between, from town hall to town hall, and in between, he stopped at the Gould's Apple Festival, and there was a lot of politicians there trying to get out the vote, because it's a very swingy area. And so when I went out, he was a little late. I was kind of anxious, and then somebody came up and was like, go up to him, say hi, and so we had a pretty nice conversation.
Why did you want to meet Antonio Delgado?
He was pretty inspiring. I mean, he seemed like he would be a right fit for the job, and like he seemed like he actually genuinely wanted to help others.
And what was his reaction when you went over and said hello?
He said it was cool and that we needed young people and that he liked... I was with my brother, so we talked a lot, and so my brother and I are twins, and he kind of... He has twin boys, and so we kind of got on about that, and, like, we gave him advice, and he was like, oh, thank you.
That's great. How did that inspire you to come out on Election Day and help out?
After that, I was like, okay, this guy needs to win. He's cool. He's, like, everything we need. And so on Sunday, the before Election Day, I believe it was the 4th, I went out, took the bus. It was Sunday, so the normal route to go up there was only on weekdays, so it took, like, a good 90 minutes. And so I went up, and I just decided to try it out and see, like, I want to help these people. I'm going to let them get elected. They have good positions, and I believe that they should represent us. So I went up, and I went to go, and there was, like, this flood of support, and I was really surprised that, like, they were so excited to meet me. And so I went out with a couple people, and...
This was Sunday before
Election
Day.
Yeah, this was Sunday before Election Day. Yeah. I went out with a couple people. There was... two nice ladies who went out with me to West Sandlake, which is near where I live. And then we went back, and then I went out with this nice man. And we knocked on a couple doors, and then I went home. And it was a really nice experience, and so I decided to go back on Tuesday.
That's great. And how did people react to you when you knocked on the door to...
I was pleasantly surprised at how nice they were and genuine, and they actually wanted to talk to me about the stuff that mattered. And I was really surprised by their kindness.
You said that you were really anxious about this election, yeah, and you weren't sure what you were going to do. What made you care about this particular election?
I guess I followed 2016 a lot, and everything kind of went down from there. And so I decided, let's keep this going. Let's see if there's anything I can do. And at first I felt, like, kind of powerless. But then I discovered that there's midterms exist. And so I really got into that, and I've been following it since, like, the beginning.
Are you a recent follower of politics? Was 2016 the first time
Probably
you really...
Probably the end of 2015, early 2016, I got into it, and then I quickly got, like, really interested. And so now a lot of my time is dedicated to that.
You shared with me another inspiration that you had, and that was when President Barack Obama was elected in 2008.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that?
I was four, so... It's one of my earliest memories. I remember him going up on the stage with his daughters when he was giving his, I guess, victory speech. And I remember, like, oh, this man is cool. Like, he seems a lot better. He seems pretty inspiring. And so I think I probably was more interested. I just didn't really get into it until a couple years ago.
Did you learn anything by knocking on doors?
I learned that people, they don't know a lot about the political system, but they definitely are intrigued. Like, so I think if we got the word out and tell people, like, what they vote, what matters, their issues, their ballot initiatives, all that, I think they'd be a lot more interested in the political system, and I think that people aren't, like, as apathetic about the voter system as people actually think. I think that they actually do care a lot deeply about the issues, and that if we engage them, then I think we could be more successful as a country.
You were a bit nervous on election day, like many of us were. Can you tell me a little bit about how you were feeling that day? Oh, yes,
election day. So I got my monitor. I had like 3 monitors and my computer and my phone and everything. Then the TV was up and I had like this entire process. And then like as the night went on, it was noticed by many, many people that we started to tumble into 2016 again. And it got like a lot of people nervous in me, like, you know, I wanted to vomit, but I didn't, thankfully.
You were talking about like around 9 o'clock when it looked like it was like 68% to 30%.
Yeah, I saw that. That was depressing. But we quickly bounced back, and after the later in the night and since, and the recounts and the extra votes that have been added, it's been very good. So I went to bed feeling somewhat satisfied.
What time did you go to bed on
last night? Like
3 a.m. And your parents were okay with that?
Yeah, they were fine with it. They kind of, like, knew that it was, like, my Super Bowl.
Your Super Bowl. So you had a whole plan for that day. You took the bus down to the office to volunteer. You knocked on many dozens of doors. And then when you got home, what was your plan?
My plan was, so I got home around 4, and then I wanted to, because the first results out of Indiana and Kentucky come in at about 6 p.m., so I wanted to take a nice nap before then, but, you know, it didn't work out. Too anxious. And then when the results started coming in, I was feeling, like, anxious, nervous, I guess, a whole flood of emotions, and I had my entire system, and, like, things started to go off the wire because, like, different results are coming at different times and it wasn't exactly what people expected. And it was, like, a whole roller coaster. And so it was pretty interesting.
So you had a plan A and a plan B.
Yeah.
And it involved Häagen-Dazs.
Yes.
Can you remind me about
it? So ShopRite had this wonderful coupon that was 3 for $6 Häagen-Dazs pints. And I made this joke that was, I have 1 for my victory and then 2 more for if things go wrong. And I held off, luckily, long enough so that I didn't dive in too early. Because you just got to be persistent. And then, so I enjoyed that vanilla Häagen-Dazs. I was, like, deeply into it, and it was nice.
And you didn't even have to break into the other two.
No, I didn't have to yet, although they're still there in case something goes wrong.
Monitoring the election results wasn't just curiosity for you. You're also involved in a national group of young people. Can you talk about the task that you had that night?
That night wasn't just, like, me watching the results. It was determining our future, seeing, like, what we could do and where we'd go from here, because it was really the first major event since Trump's election. And so after it meant a lot more than people thought. It was just for a lot of people, it was just, you know, go vote, have fun. But for us, it was basically the future of our lives, because it meant a lot to what would get passed, where would the future go, and what it held for 2020 and beyond.
So what is the group that you're involved in, and what were you tasked with doing that night?
So there was a chat of a bunch of teenagers that were interested in politics from the whole spectrum, and I was tasked with reporting the results and giving them the information. So, contrary to popular belief, there's a lot of young people that are interested in politics, especially since 2016. There's been, like, a whole movement, I guess you could say.
And these are kids that aren't old enough to vote yet.
Yeah, most of them aren't.
Just follow politics, and you were asked to monitor, what, the governor's races?
The governor's races, yes. Yeah. There's still 2 uncalled, but those went pretty well.
So what races are you watching now?
So the governor's races, because I was tasked with those, is Georgia and Florida. Georgia is a very interesting case. There's Brian Kemp, who was accused of doing some pretty horrific things with ballots and such. And he has a slim lead, and so that would be interesting to see where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Florida, apparently it was called on election night, but then they reversed it, and now there's a whole recount process. And then, contrary to what many people think, it's actually law there that you have to have a recount, and so it's been a whole process there, but I mean, it's just Florida being Florida, I guess.
So what do you think is going to happen in Georgia?
In Georgia, honestly, I think it will get to a runoff. I think that Kemp is hiding some ballots and some provisionals that he isn't reporting, because you've seen them slowly trickle in. I think that it will go to a runoff. I think he might prevail just because Georgia's a pretty red state. I've been to Georgia. I live near Georgia. It's pretty red, pretty ruby red. And so
how does he have the power to hold back some ballots?
So he is the Republican candidate for governor, but because of how it works in Georgia, he's also the Secretary of State, which means he has the power to suppress thousands and hundreds of thousands of votes at wherever he basically wants with laws that are technically illegal, but, I mean, he has all the power in the world, so he can do whatever he wants, and it's kind of a broken system.
He's resigned from that position.
He has, because he jumped the gun very early and thought that he had the authority, so he didn't resign until after Election Day, until a couple days after.
So where would those votes be? Does somebody else know?
In Metro Atlanta, they have a lot of absentee ballots, early ballots. They have quite a lot of extra that should be coming in shortly. He isn't reporting them, but there's been leaks from there from the campaign officials that there is many ballots still uncounted.
Mm-hmm. So his challenger would have to take the vast majority of those
missing ballots. Yep, she's about 21,000 votes behind from a runoff. She doesn't technically have to win. She just has to get Kemp below 50%, which could happen. It could not.
Mm-hmm.
But in Metro Atlanta, it's heavily Democratic. A lot of minority turnout, so there's a lot of ballots, and especially the ballots that he suppressed, the 53,000 in Gwinnett County, are mostly minorities and people who would likely vote for her.
And what about the Florida race? What do you predict there?
I predict the Republicans will hold it narrowly. I think it will be closer. There's the ballot design in Broward County that everyone's talking about. I think that that's might not be the case because the machines have been redone, they've had to do everything, and it's been delayed, and so it's pretty suspicious. It could be that where the ballot position was and the 24th district portion, it could be that there was an error in the machine counting, or it could just be that people didn't see it in the corner. So we'll see from there. I think the Republicans have got it unless something happens, which isn't incredibly unlikely.
So what are some of the races that you're most excited about from Election Day?
So I was most excited about a lot of the New York races, a lot of the competitive House races, because all 9 Republicans in New York were in danger. And so we flipped a couple. The 11th in Staten Island was a big upset. That was nice. There was a couple on Long Island.
Who won in the 11th?
It was Max Rose over Dan Donovan in the 11th. And then Delgado won in the 19th. Fun story about that. CNN originally called it for Faso for, like, 5 minutes, and they, like, gave me a heart attack, and it was nice. And so I stopped watching them after that.
You were done with CNN. Yeah.
And then there's a couple races upstate. The 27th is going to a recount, and I was happy to see elsewhere in the country that where I lived for a while was in Beaufort, South Carolina, which is in the 1st District. There was a stunning upset there where a very, very far-right conservative hardliner was taken down by a nice, moderate blue dog Democrat.
So who was the winner there?
It was Joe Cunningham who won over Katie Arrington.
Uh-huh.
It was the district where Mark Sanford lost his primary because Trump didn't like him.
What about this Trump presidency got you so interested in participating in
the midterms? I think it's just that he was breaking so many precedents. Like, regardless of where you stand, you got to say that this is, like, a new era. It's unprecedented because basically the view of the country now is that, oh, this is all normal, but if you look back to 3-4 years ago, it was nothing like this. So I think it was the fact that these elections and these midterms will directly control if he can get any of his bills passed, which now seems unlikely.
Mm-hmm. What are the issues that matter to you the most?
I think probably the most important issue for me is voting rights. I think that everybody should have the right to be heard in elections. It might just be that I've been following elections a lot, and that's why I believe so heavily in it, but I think that voting rights is very important, and that everybody should have the right to vote. Vote early, vote late, vote absentee, no matter who you are.
Gavin, what's next for you? What's in the future for you?
Probably 2020, volunteer with some campaigns, because I'm sure there'll be even more to get out. And then after that, we'll see.
Do you have any aspirations to political office
yourself?
I mean,
maybe one day, but, like, I'm not explicitly planning for that. I want to go into politics. I don't know if it'll be through, like, elected office.
Thank you so much for sitting down with me to talk about Election Day 2018.